This tape will record an interview with Ruby Solene Steenerson by Elsie Lee. This interview is a part of the Oral History Project, Morehead State University, 1925 through 1950, and is being taped in the sound studio of the Audiovisual Department of the university. The date is May 10th, 1984. Can you remember what the campus looked like the first time you ever saw it?
Well, the main building was what is the main building now, or not what the main building is now. That burned down, the main building that was here at the time that I went there to college. And we had Weld Hall when I was here. Two dormitories, we had Weld and Comstock. Other than that, I don't remember of any other buildings. I imagine there was a boiler room, but I don't remember it.
What year was this now?
Well, this would be back further than you got there. You have 1925. This was 20 and 21 that I attended.
And what was it called at that time?
Normal school.
It was called the normal school. How did you happen to choose to come to Morehead State?
Well, it was the closest college to our hometown, which was only 20 miles away. And some of my aunts had attended college here.
And since it was a normal school, when you came here, you expected to become a teacher?
Well, you did get a certificate after 2 years at that time. And could teach. It's mostly rural schools and then consolidated schools in small towns.
So when you attended, you went to a building called Old Main, or what?
Old Main.
Do you have a picture of your in your mind of thinking of the campus as being the three buildings you mentioned now? Do you have a? Can you tell us anything else about how the campus looked?
There was a streetcar track that went in front of the dormitories to accommodate the students. And that was there for many, many years, I guess. But it was there when I attended. We used the streetcar to get around. There was no buses or cars like this now.
Did you live on campus?
I lived at Wheeler Hall for 1 year, and then we lived in, my sister and I lived in an apartment on 7th Street South.
So when you say you lived at Wheeler Hall, was Comstock Hall not built yet then?
Well, they were both there, I think.
They were both there.
In one of them, you know, and lived in another one.
Do you remember anything about your courses or teachers back then?
Well, I can't. I had Miss Hayes. You heard of her, I'm sure. And I had Miss Leonard in math. I can't remember. I took art. I remember, but I can't remember who the instructor was, nor the geography teacher either. Science, I can't remember, but those two.
Do you remember who was president when you were there?
Well, Weld was, and McLean were two that I remember then.
Did you, were there any extracurricular activities besides, did you just go to classes and that was it?
We had a girls' basketball team. I played. We didn't play at any other colleges, but we played within this college. And I was the center of the team.
Well, that's fun. Interesting.
I was tall.
So you played the center.
Yeah.
Jump center.
And that was a little low basement in the bottom of this Mickle era.
Downstairs in the Old Main building?
Yeah, in the Old Main building.
That's where you did, that's
sure.
What you used
I
for a gym.
I can't remember who the Phi Ed teacher was. I don't remember her name.
That was before Frick came.
Oh, yes.
Long before.
Long time before Frick.
Well, that's interesting that they had a girls' basketball team.
But we just played different classes, I suppose. I don't just remember, but it was right within the college.
Did you have chapel? Did you go to chapel?
Yes. It wasn't compulsory that I know of, but we always went over to Weld Hall.
And sing hymns, and was it a religious?
No, I can't remember that it was religious.
You don't?
No. We sang songs, and we had speakers occasionally.
And what about where the...
We had a lot of good plays back in those days.
Oh.
Pierre Gint and, oh, I can't remember all the names of them, but they were real good plays.
Uh-huh. And then were there some clubs beside,
yes,
or...
Yes, the Owl Fraternity was on campus. I remember that. But I think that was the only one that the men had, was the Owls at that time. And there could have been some societies or something. The girls had too, but I never belonged to any. It was just a two-year college at that time, I guess.
Uh-huh. You said you lived in Wheeler. Did they have rules in those days?
Yes, they had rules. The lights went out, and they all went out.
At what time?
Well, I wonder if it wasn't about 9:30. And you had to get permission to go out and come in again, you know.
And you ate right there in one of the dormitories.
I think Comstock served the meals, and we stayed in Wheeler.
And if you wanted to go anywhere, you rode the streetcar to go downtown, or else walked. And do you remember anything about the clothes they wore in those days? Anything like today?
About my gym suit?
Yes.
It was a real blousy knicker-like, boomer style.
Uh-huh.
Blue serge.
I think I've seen pictures of those.
I had a midi. Blouse. And tennis shoes. That was my outfit.
But to wear to as a student every day.
Well, we didn't use slacks and overalls in those days. You wore dresses.
Did you have to dress up, kind of?
Well, we always did, yes. A dress and a sweater, or a skirt and blouse and sweater.
And how did you, who financed your education? How did you
My
get
parents,
money? They took care of your tuition.
Parents took care of it in those days. There wasn't any financial aid to me.
And they took care of the housing and the and the room and board. And you didn't have to work on the side.
No.
You were one of the lucky ones. And they paid for your books, or were the books supplied, or what?
Books, you rented or got the books out of the library in those days.
Oh, you didn't buy your own?
No, not at the time I attended school. You see, that was changed in 1947.
Uh-huh. And you were there for the 2 years. You completed your 2-year course and got a certificate for teaching. Then did you go out teaching?
No. My father owned a general merchandise store, and I went home and helped my parents in the store because they needed somebody. I was the youngest of the girls.
Uh-huh. Now, you were a student around 1921?
20 and 21.
So then you were helping in the store when Old Main burned in 1930. Do you remember hearing about it?
What month was that again?
February.
And that was what year again?
In 1930.
Yeah, 1930. Yes, I was home out of my hometown.
Your hometown was?
Burned. But we came in because we heard it.
Your hometown was?
Averill. They used to have student teachers at Averill.
Uh-huh. So you heard about it, not over radio or
TV either. No. I don't think we had either one in 30.
Do you remember coming to see it at all?
Yeah, well, I came to see it, all right, but it was burned by the time we got in, you know.
Oh. And so now, when did you come back to be at all connected with Morehead State?
Well, the first that you say that I was connected with Morehead State then would be the year after that I went out of the college club, and I left there in 1943, and I think that was the year, 1943 was the year, I think, that the Air Corps was in here?
Yes, you're right, it was here, 1943.
And that was when President Snar called me and asked if I'd come up to the college. He wanted to talk to me, so I went up to the college, and he said they would like to have a place for the boys, for the Air Corps men, to go in the evenings with their wives or families or sweethearts to have a dish of ice cream or a soft drink or something. And well, I was wondering if I wouldn't be interested in taking care of that for the college. And I said, oh, I said, I didn't know about that at first. Well, he said, they don't have anybody, and they felt that they should have a place. Well, I said, where would you have it then? And he said, there was a lunchroom along there, across from the post office, was where the coffee went, was in that those days. And
in McLean Hall.
McLean Hall. And so I said, well, I'll try it. So we had an ice cream. We had a fountain, you know, and ice cream and some pastry. And I did that for that 1 year for them.
For just 1 year you were there?
Yes. They went out of here, I think, didn't they?
Yeah, they were there only 1 year. That's right. Those men were there only 1 year. Let's back up. How did President Znar know about your ability to run a lunchroom?
Because I have been in the college club. I had owned.
Tell us about that.
I owned the college club that was just outside of the campus for 3 years until the boys were called in to service and Company F went out of here.
And the college club was a restaurant.
Yes, and a place to go after the ball games and have hamburgers or hot dogs or ice cream or pastry. I always had homemade pastry in there. And President Snar's two children were going to college here at that time, and they were over there quite a bit of the time. And I guess it's because they took a liking to me and went home and said that they enjoyed being over there. And that's where it started from, I guess.
And your college club was located, you said, close to the campus on 7th Avenue, where the
college store,
where the Stop and Go store is now.
Mm-hmm. Quite beside it.
Did you serve full meals? So it was like
later
a regular
lunches
little restaurant.
At noon, like salads and sandwiches, sir.
Uh-huh.
Many of the faculty had their lunch there at noon.
Uh-huh. And that was
mornings
for...
Mornings we served breakfast, hot rolls. I heated all the sweet rolls.
Uh-huh. Well, now, did you go directly from running that college club over to working right on the campus in McLean? Did you...
Well, no. When I left, I sold out then after the boys all went. Then the situation gets different when you don't have girls and boys together on the campus.
Uh-huh.
The girls are not interested in being there either like they were when the boys were there. Well, the college boys that had to move out of their rooms for the Air Corps wanted me to take a house on 11th Street South at 423 and they wanted to live with me. There were 11 basketball players and football players. Oh, I said, I think I better go back to my home on the north side. No, we're going over and look at it. And they went over and looked at the place and they said, you can have it. We asked the lady. So I went over that evening to see and I took it. And I had 11 boys for a year. These boys all had joined either V5 or V12 to stay in college. And then they weren't called into the service right away. So this is the boys that I had for 1 year. Then they were called in to service, all of them. And then I went back to my own home.
Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm. And so from there, he called me again to come and run the bookstore in 47.
Uh-huh. So this was both your restaurant and your housing for the athletes, they were the effects of the war on the college that affected all of this. It was because most of the men left to go in the service, and you had these, there were really the few boys left on campus, so they moved out.
They were athletes, and they had joined B5 and B12.
And that left them.
One was an Army, one was a Navy.
Uh-huh. Oh, I see.
So that they could finish their college. Some of them were getting close to finishing, you know.
And they didn't want to be drafted at the time. They wanted to finish college first.
They weren't all seniors or juniors. But.
Uh-huh. Do you have any memories? Was the campus school there? Do you remember?
Yes.
That was going.
That was going. I didn't see too much of the campus.
You didn't have much connection
not even
with
in
it.
The bookstore, you know.
Uh-huh, yeah. Now, you've mentioned President Snar. Do you have that would be in 43. Let's see, he came in 41. Do you have any memories of McLean, who was before Snar at all? Or
no, not when I was going to school. I don't remember too much about him. I remember them speaking at chapel or like that. But
tell us anything you remember about President Snar.
Oh, he was a cozy old man, very cozy. He was always so kind and so good to me. And after he had left here and came back for the dedication of his dorm that was named Snar Hall, and he was standing in the door of the bookstore, and I looked up and there was Snar. And we embraced each other and cried, both of us. He said, "Now aren't you glad you came to Morehead State College? You've done a good job," he said,
complimented. So in 1943 and 44, when these Air Corps men came, and you were running the
College Club.
You had the College Club a little earlier, but you ran this lunchroom in McLean Hall during the year the Air Corps people were there.
It was an evening it was an evening deal.
It wasn't open during the day?
No, just in the evening, so they had a place to go on campus.
Well, then that lunchroom developed into, because when I came later, that was where we all had coffee all day.
Well, they did in the daytime. The students could go in there and the faculty during the day, but it was for the Air Corps in the night.
Oh, I see. Could you mean students and faculty couldn't use it at night or weren't expected to use it?
And I think they knew that.
Oh, I see.
Because it was servicemen and family, if they had any here, or their wives or sweethearts could come.
And well, then did you just
stayed open till 11:30 to accommodate them?
But did you work all day? Did you take care of the students and such in the daytime?
I was living in the big house, I suppose, at that time, and I didn't have anything to do with them. Only that they roomed there, you know. I didn't board them. In that large house.
Oh, I see. But you didn't come to work at the lunchroom until after?
Oh, after in the evenings, yes.
In the evenings. So you never did take care of it in the daytime?
Oh, no. They had people in there in the day to serve the noon.
And these Air Corps lived on campus? The Air Corps?
Well, they went into the dorm, I think.
They took over.
I don't know what the wives did, but the dorms were turned over to the Air Corps. That's how the boys had to move out of there, you see.
I'm not sure about this myself, but I'm wondering the rooms that were down under McLean. I've heard
that was the Owl fraternity rooms, and I imagine people could live there.
I've heard that they lived there, that's when they were first started.
And Mrs. Jackson, I think, had rumors and took some of them.
Was she going at that time? Was her house?
I think so. That was for years, you know.
And do you remember anything about the Owls then at this early time?
Well, one thing I can remember of that my husband and I were asked to chaperone them when they had sleigh rides and some parties, and we did. We went with them on sleigh ride parties so that they had chaperones. This was after I moved into the large house, because most of them were Owls that were over there.
Oh, yes. Were there other groups, other sororities or fraternities?
I don't remember the sororities at all until I came into the bookstore. Then I was a patroness of Beta Chi. It isn't Beta Chi anymore either. It's something else now.
Uh-huh.
But I was for, I'm sure, for 20 years.
Uh-huh. And then, let's see, you just mentioned the bookstore. I wonder if there's anything. That started in 47.
47. I took the job in August of 47.
And where was the bookstore?
In one room in McLean. To start with.
On first floor.
On first floor.
the number in me.
And how did it happen? Tell us about when you were asked to take that over. That was the first bookstore that we ever had, wasn't it?
The state wouldn't furnish books any longer to the students because it was too costly, I guess. They were too careless, and that, as I understand. And
so you think that up to 1947, all the colleges supplied the books?
That's right.
Oh. So this was the beginning in 47.
President Snar and Dr. Lura were the ones that called me. And I met with them three times before I took the job. I told them that I was not acquainted with running a bookstore. My folks had a general merchandise store. That's absolutely different.
Uh-huh.
But, Snar says, I'm willing to take a chance on you, he said, because my children speak highly of you. So,
and
that's how it happened, I guess.
Can you do you have memories of beginning that bookstore? Did they have shelving in there for you to start with, or
some and books on the floor and jumped over the books, and we were so crowded, and I had to start with, I suppose I had four or five students besides myself when we first started. It was 750 students then.
Oh.
And it was 5,000 or more when I left here.
And you left when?
68.
5,000 or more in 1968.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Possibly in 1947 wasn't too long after the war, but it was when the veterans were coming back.
Well, it was the following year that the boys started coming back from the service, and they were on the GI Bill, and that was all charge accounts.
That's what I wondered.
They didn't receive any money from the government, the boys didn't. It was all charged. It didn't make any difference what they got in there, it was charged. So we had a lot of accounts. I had 365 accounts at one time, GI accounts.
Because their bookstore, their books and papers and anything they needed, all their supplies were supplied through the GI Bill. So
They could get it if it was authorized by their instructor.
Oh, that's...
Not pencils, but I mean extra books or...
So they had to bring a written slip or something then? Or how did you know it was authorized?
Well, the instructor came over and authorized their class to have these things.
I see.
Like for the physics class, there was instruments they had to have, or chemistry, or industrial arts. There was quite a bit of supplies for industrial arts, you know.
And was that handled that same way all the time you were there, or did that?
No, when I got into the large bookstore, then I handled the supplies. But in this one room, I couldn't have the supplies.
Oh, I see.
So we had to do it other ways. But they always got their supplies.
Uh-huh.
I saw that they got them.
You took care of that, but you only had the books in the bookstore. You didn't.
Well, we had some supplies.
Oh, for
some.
Uh-huh. Well, was it a money-making, was your bookstore, did it make money?
That first year that I started charging to the GIs, it wasn't money-making because it takes you a year or more to get your money back from the government. So we went head over heels in the hole. So I had to write to all the people that I was doing business with, the book companies and the supplies, and ask for extended credit. But they had received the same letters from every other college.
Uh-huh.
And they carried me.
Now, were you on a salary running the bookstore? You were on a regular salary.
And I got along with students, and the students only got 75 cents an hour, so they were working awful cheap. Now, that wasn't my set. That was set by the college.
Uh-huh.
And that's the kind of help that I got along with. We were in that bookstore, I'm sure, for about 7 years before we moved. When did you move out of the library? Out of that? That's when we moved into the library then, you see.
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh. That year. So we had more space then.
Yes, I don't remember exactly when we moved out of that library, but you were in your
little
books
one for about 7 years, I think.
Until the
so
new library,
mm-hmm.
So that, and then you moved directly from that one room
right into
the library. That was a big change.
So we got more counters and more supply cases and much more room.
So your you didn't make any more money if you sold many books or few. I mean, you weren't on any kind of a...
Not my salary, no. Mine was a salary, and that was it.
Uh-huh.
I just worked hard to make a go, but I didn't want the job in the first place. I was going to make a go then.
Well, tell us about, you think it was about 7 years that you were there?
I must have been close to 7 years that we were there.
And tell us about the move. How did you?
Well, there wasn't that much from one room. See, it was
wasn't
sold out
so far.
Pretty much. And we had some old books that came from the library that we were, the students were getting. The state got some little bit of money out of some old books. That Miss Upham, wasn't that her name?
Upham.
Upham had in the library, and we sold those so the state could get that money.
Oh, I see.
You know, this wasn't run by the state, though, this bookstore. This was individually.
Uh-huh.
The state does not sell books or supplies, you see.
Uh-huh. And
and when we got into the bookstore, then I had more help. I had more full-time help. I had ladies at cash register, and I had bookkeeper, and so I had quite a bit of help then.
You didn't get the full library, though, did you?
Yes.
Didn't they have? Didn't they make classrooms out of the two big? There were two big study rooms on the side. You know, the bookstore now there are classrooms.
Yes, the one to the front, and of the bookstore, was one that Ralph had.
Uh-huh.
But I think that's the only one that was used for them, because there was one off to the other side that we used to go in and sit and eat our lunch.
Oh, so you had part of it for your bookstore.
Yeah.
So it wasn't... Uh-huh, I was thinking...